Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I've been looking ahead a bit over the next few weeks, and we have some very important dates coming up. This coming Sunday will be the Great Feast of Christ the King, and this Sunday is the conclusion of the Year of Mercy. This Sunday. So if you haven't, as I've really encouraged you to do, go to the Holy Door. I really encourage you to take advantage of it in these last few days. Gain all the grace you can. It's not like putting your ticket in the slot machine and getting something for it, but it is going to the Lord and just thanking the Lord for this precious opportunity to ask forgiveness of our sins and our failings, and to open our hearts to all that He desires to give us. Please take advantage. I came across an article the other day that I want to just share with you because it has to do, in a certain sense, it has to do with the Holy Door. I want to share this with you because it's by Father James Sullivan, and I think you'd appreciate this. He writes, only 19 days left until the end of the Jubilee Year of Mercy. Well, we now only have a few days left. Jesus, whom Pope Francis calls the living face of the Father's mercy. Jesus is the living face of the Father's mercy, stands before us always. But the Jubilee doors in Rome and around the world will be closed on November 20th, on the solemnity of Christ the King, to await their reopening for the next Jubilee year, whenever that's called. Now, here's what I really want you to hear. A few years ago, a scientific experiment was carried out at the University of Notre Dame. The research team wanted answers to a common enough experience which they termed the, quote, doorway effect. And this was their question. Why is it that when we think of something in one room and then we go to another room to do it or get it, we forget what it is that we're here for? They came to the conclusion through numerous subjects and trials that the brain... Listen to this. The brain does a sort of quick memory wipe as we pass through a door into another room. Interesting, isn't it? Now, he relates that to this Year of Mercy and to the Door of Mercy that are in every diocese across this country. We all need the mercy of God because we all need to have a new beginning. As we pass through the Holy Door, we do three things. We pray for the intentions of the Pope, we go to confession, we receive Holy Communion. At that moment, we are reminded of what matters most in our lives, so that we can forget what needs the most forgetting, our sin. Once through the Holy Door, we are ready for whatever the Lord has now in store for us. The Holy Door is not magical. It seems to be natural, if not supernatural. In other words, the brain is trained in a certain way to do a quick memory wipe when you walk from one room to another. Doesn't God build in sometimes things for us? He wipes away our sins and we can forget them. Once we have confessed them, they're gone, brothers and sisters. They're gone. Please take advantage. You can, every time you go to confession, you can receive these graces, but there are so many special graces in this holy year of mercy. So you have a few more days. Please take advantage. We take a look now at the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I, John, had a vision of an open door to heaven. And I heard the trumpet-like voice that had spoken to me before, saying, come up here, and I will show you what must happen afterwards. At once I was caught up in spirit. A throne was there in heaven, and on the throne sat one whose appearance sparkled like jasper and carnelian. Round the throne was a halo as brilliant as an emerald. Surrounding the throne, I saw 24 other thrones on which 24 elders sat, dressed in white garments and with gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Seven flaming torches burned in front of the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was something that resembled a sea of glass like crystal. In the center and around the throne there were four living creatures covered with eyes in front and in back. The first creature resembled a lion, the second was like a calf, the third had a face like that of a man, and the fourth looked like an eagle in flight. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, were covered with eyes inside and out, and day and night they do not stop exclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever. They throw down their crowns before the throne, exclaiming, "Worthy are you, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will, they came to be and were created." So here is a vision. This is part of what we do at this time of the year in the church, is to look ahead, to see what we're living for, what is to come, to strengthen our faith, but also to rejoice in the glory that is being revealed to us and showing us. Psalm 150, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, mighty God." We see the glory of heaven, but we also see how we pray as we come before that throne. We worship God. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his strength. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his sovereign majesty. Praise him with trumpet and lyre and harp. In other words, praise him with all music. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Alleluia. Brothers and sisters, heaven is not the time when you say, "Oh, ho hum, alleluia," and that's it, like we do here on earth sometimes. Do you understand that when the sacrifice of the Mass is being celebrated, we enter into the throne room that's described here? By faith, yes, but we enter into the throne room. And we sit there daydreaming, we do all kinds of things, we're working out problems, we're setting agendas, we're so distracted when we're at Mass. And the Lord looks down on us with eyes of great mercy. "Come back to me. Come back to me. Draw near to me. Let me increase your faith so that you can realize that what we just read here is actually being lived out before the very throne of God all the time, 24/7. The worship of God is going on, and we, through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, through our own worship and thanksgiving of God, in our own private prayer, we enter into that throne room. By faith, yes, but it's absolutely true. You can stake your life on it. And all we do, we're so caught up, we're so imprisoned by what our senses tell us that we don't pay attention to what lies ahead. We don't pay attention to what is come. Brothers and sisters, please ask God to increase your faith. Let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 11 to 28. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, "We do not want this man to be our king." But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. And the first came forward and said, "Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones." And he replied, "Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. So take charge of 10 cities. Look at the reward for doing a small job." Then the servant, the second one, came and reported, "Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more." And to this servant, too, he said, "You take charge of 5 cities." And then the other servant came and said, "Sir, here's your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down. You harvest what you did not plant." Here's a man who's making excuses for not causing the gift that he was given by God to multiply and to bear fruit. What gifts has God given you? And what are you doing with them? Because every one of us will render an account. It is often a spiritual gift, but it doesn't have to be. Suppose we've been given money. Suppose we've been given influence in an area, prestige in an area, where our voice is listened to. How are we using it? Are we just trying to please others? Or are we using it to try and honor the Lord? Ask God for wisdom. But Jesus says to this man who hung onto it and hoarded it and didn't allow it to bear fruit, he says, "With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? At least then on my return I would have collected it with interest." And to those standing by he said, "Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10, because he really poured himself out. I'm implying that, it's not in the gospel, but he totally poured himself out and multiplied more than the others what he had first received. Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, "Sir, he has 10 gold coins." See, this is human thinking versus God's thinking. And he replied, "I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. From the one who has not," in other words, "you did nothing with what I gave you. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me." After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have a lot to answer for if we don't use the gifts God has given us. Now, don't get frightened. That's not the point. The point is to say, first of all, what gifts has God given me? And then, Lord, show me how I can use them. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.